This morning we're going to continue looking at the whole question of the church and church membership and our relationship one with another. Those of you who have worshipped with us recently will know that I've been going through a statement in our church rules which lays out the responsibilities of church membership. I've done it under the heading, Church, Not a Place to Go, but a Community in Which to Grow. And this morning, we are going to look at the first responsibility. We've looked at various ones, but we're coming back to the beginning this morning. And the first responsibility that is stated in this pastoral statement is regular attendance at Sunday worship. Now, this term, regular attendance, is used in three of these clauses altogether. The third one, where regular attendance is at the midweek meetings of the church, but also in the eighth one, which is regular attendance at the communion service. And we have this repetition, regular attendance. What do we mean by that? Well, regular is used in a number of ways in the English language, isn't it? Occurring at regular intervals, that you can guarantee that at certain times these things will happen. Or we do things regularly. This is the pattern of how we, in our customs, do these things. Or sometimes it is simply a habit. Well, he does that every day, with no thought. It is just there. It is pointless. Attendance. What is attendance? Well, it is being present. You're in school, the register is marked every day, and the children answer yes or no. If they are in attendance, they are present. If they're not in attendance, they are absent. And these are the two words that are repeated in these three clauses. But how does this relate to Scripture? What are the biblical principles that are used? Well, in the statement, we quote two verses of Scripture. One we read this morning in verse 25, and it says, "Not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The second of the verses that is quoted are from Acts 20 and verse 7. "And on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day. And he prolonged his speech until midnight." So we've got these two verses of Scripture. We've got this expectation of regularity and of being present. And this is stated because it is something that is challenged. It is something that can so easily be left to go. People can become irregular in their attendance. They can get to the point where they are not making this a priority in their life. And for that reason, my first heading this morning is, we are facing a persistent and a present problem. We are required by our commitment to church membership to meet together regularly. And yet, there is this persistent and present problem. Why is it a problem? Well, it's a problem of human nature, isn't it? You talk to any organization and you will find, whether it's secular or spiritual, they've got plenty of people on the books, but they don't always turn up. There are lots of people, if you like, come into the organization. They enter through the front door, but they slip out the back door. And there is this irregular attendance in many and varied organizations. Now, when the writer to the Hebrews was drawing attention to this problem. He was doing it for a very real reason. The Christians were suffering for their faith. They were being persecuted. We read about it in the later verses from verse 32. You recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction. And so it goes on. And let's be honest, friends. If we suffered for coming here this morning, would we be here? If it cost us our reputation, if we were imprisoned, if we were beaten because we came to church, would we in fact be in regular attendance? And we have to be honest. No, it would be so easy for us, like these early believers, to fall away. But what is regular attendance? Well, over the years I've known, as you probably have, people who say, yes, I'm a regular attender. I go to church, Christmas, Easter, Harvest. Or there are some who would fit into an even broader category. Well, if there's a christening, I'll go to that. If there's a wedding, I'll go to church then. And I go to church for funerals. And those are legitimate uses of the word regular. But is that what our church rules is calling us to? Is that what the writer to the Hebrews is challenging us to? When the writer says that we are not to forsake, we are not to neglect meeting together. Well, the first thing that I want to avoid this morning, while it is a problem, I don't want to develop a legalistic attitude. There may be people here this morning and you think, there's a meeting on. I'm required to be there. I've got to be there. And I'm a bad church member if I'm not. Or the flip side of that, there's a meeting on. I'm required to be there. I never miss anything. There's no church member like me. That isn't the spirit of this rule. That isn't the priority of Scripture. No. What the writer to the Hebrews is talking about is meeting together with a purpose. Those two attitudes that I've just talked about, those who fail and those who pride themselves, they are totally self-centered. There are some people, and they've started neglecting meeting together here in the Hebrew situation, in the New Testament situation, and you see it in countless churches around the world, around the country today, people who would turn around and say, I don't get anything from it, so I'm not going to bother going. And again, that is not what is being pointed out in this responsibility. That sort of attitude, I'm good enough because I'm there. I get nothing from it, therefore I'm not going. The center of that world is I, me, myself. But that isn't the spirit of this responsibility. This clause in our church rules calls us to regular attendance at Sunday worship. And those two words are significant. We worship on Sunday. And we gather for worship. So let's unpack these two words in a way by looking at our next heading. Meeting together is more than regular attendance. Regular attendance at church is fine. The box could be ticked. But when we come this morning now, are you fulfilling the call of Hebrews 10, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together? And then it goes on, and it says about encouraging one another. Gatherings of the church are not simply assemblies, people coming into one building. They are literally opportunities to meet together. The Greek word from which we get our word ecclesiastical, ecclesia, means literally the called out ones. We've been called out to meet together. But friends, you know as well as I do, it's possible to turn up the church and to cocoon yourself and not be affected by anyone around you. I was going to say initially to cocoon yourself in your small corner, but that's not fair on the people who sit in the corners, because we can do it wherever we are in church. We can come in, we can say, well, I'm here, all that matters is me and God. No, friends, that is not the spirit of New Testament gatherings. The spirit of New Testament gatherings is meeting together, coming together to encourage one another. But for many of us, we only feel secure when we can come in, we can do what we want to do, and then we can dash out. No thought of encouraging one another. No thought of relating to other people. This meeting together, in a way, it's sometimes used of catching fish. It's a net that draws people together. And have you ever seen a fishing net? And I'm not talking now about the one that children use to catch tiddlers. I'm talking about the giant trawler net, the drift nets that are used out at sea. Do you find there an orderly packaging, like you might see fish in the supermarket, not touching one another? No. When that net has drawn those fish together, they're falling over each other. They're being pushed together. They are relating to one another, whether they want to or not. And that is what the writer to the Hebrews is calling us to. And he is doing it purposely because of the Old Testament background. He's writing to Hebrews, people who knew their Old Testament. And it was for that reason that we just sang the hymn that we have. If you saw at the top of the hymn, although there was a hymn number there, 368, it also had Psalm 122. One of the psalms that was sung by the pilgrims going up to Jerusalem. And in that psalm, the psalmist writes, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem, built as a city that is firmly bound together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. When God's people came together, all the tribes came. We don't know so much about tribal identity in our country, but we know something of social strata and different classes. And what the psalmist is saying, it doesn't matter whether you're of the tribe of Dan or of the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Levi, we all go up together. We go up to meet together to worship our God. There is something wonderfully diverse about Christian worship. We shouldn't be a Welsh church. We should be a church that meets in Wales, welcoming people of every tribe. But when you come to the New Testament, you find that on the day of Pentecost, when the tribes had come up to Jerusalem, God did something else. When the Holy Spirit was poured out, we read in Acts 2, and they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not these who were speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. What is Luke recording for us? What were the people saying? They're saying, not only is it the tribes, but it is the nations, the different ethnic groupings are coming together. And that is what the spirit is of this 25 of Hebrews 10. That is the spirit of this responsibility of membership, to come together to worship, just as they did in the Old Testament, just as God made the people do on the day of Pentecost. They weren't separated into their different nationalities. They were brought together. And friends, we need to carefully examine our approach to worship. If we are content to come together and say, well, I'm going to sing this hymn, I'm not going to be conscious of anyone else around me, I believe that that is contrary to the spirit of what is said here at the end of verse 25, but encouraging one another. We encourage one another as we sing our praise to God. When Paul wrote to the Colossians, he really emphasized this. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see, friends, when we lift our voices, we don't stand there and listen to that wonderful tenor that is standing behind us, or that croaky lady who is to the side of us. No, we come together and we raise our voices and we encourage one another. We're aware of one another. I always find it delightful when I look out from the pulpit and there's a child looking up at me and giving me a broad smile. There's a relationship, and I'm sure God does that. As we bring our praise in the name of Jesus, there is that receptivity, there is that relationship. Friends, there is a horizontal dimension to worship. If it's all vertical, stay at home. Don't quote me on that bit. Because I don't believe it is all vertical. There is a relationship. And it is important that we come together and we share with one another. And I was only saying a few weeks ago, as the men walked down the aisle with the offering, they had to lace their way through the baby carriers. I remember a few years back, Diane wasn't the only one with a Zimmer here, and people were having to wind their way through the Zimmers. But there is that relationship. And we come together with our weaknesses. We come together with our strengths. Those of us who are strong encourage the weak. Those who are weak provide opportunity of service. The young, as they bring their children, encourage us to see that God is at work. Dan speaking this morning, one of the boys who's grown up through the church, really encourages us to see that God is at work. We meet together for worship. But moving on, worship is more than regular attendance. So meeting together is more than regular attendance. Worship is more than regular attendance. What do we do when we meet together? What is the focus of our worship? Well, if we go back to that second verse in our statement in the church rules, it talks about meeting on the first day of the week when we were gathered to break bread. And essentially, when we gather for worship, we look back. We gather on a Sunday in our country. I know of some Christians who gather on a Friday because they have to work on a Sunday in that country, and the day of worship is the Friday. But we worship because we have the freedom to. We gather together on a Sunday. Why do we do that? Well, the first hymn that we sang this morning focused on the resurrection. And every Sunday morning, when we come to church to worship, we are to remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We gather to celebrate what happened that first Easter morning when the grave was open and Christ rose from the dead. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Risen, our victorious head. That is the theme. That is the reason for us gathering on the Lord's Day. But the resurrection is not an event isolated from Good Friday. Jesus could only rise from the dead if he had first died. When we gather to worship the God who loved us and gave himself for us. We gather to worship a Saviour who offered himself to God on our behalf. We gather to worship one who gave his life as a ransom for many. We gather to worship a God who cared so much that he was to take the responsibility that should have been laid upon others. Acts 2, when Peter is preaching, he says, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. We worship because of the resurrection. We worship because of the crucifixion and the death that Christ died on behalf of all of his people, on behalf of all who will believe. And this has to be the focus of our worship. But I want you to remember that we worship on a Sunday as well, because Christ died on Good Friday. He rose on Easter Sunday. I know they didn't use those terms in that day. But he rested on the Sabbath. On the Saturday, he was in the grave. We come together to worship in order to rest, to lay aside all of the other responsibilities of the week. The things that we must do, the things that we should do, we don't have to worry about them when we are here. Because it is a Sabbath. It is a time when God says to us, come aside and to rest a while. It's a day when we can meet together in the church building. We have that liberty. But it's a time when we can meet together as families, and I'm delighted to see the younger families that join with us. I rejoice in the generations of families that join with us. And we thank God for his blessings on the different families within our congregations. But I believe there's a way in which too, that when we worship on a Sunday, we worship around a meal table, because we gather in each other's homes. I know that many people within the church invite others to their homes in order that they might have fellowship, in order that there might be that building up and that encouraging, rather than rushing off to the next event. No, we take time and to be still. We also meet on the first day of the week, rather than the seventh day, to remember the creation. Remember in Genesis, we are told that God said, let there be lights. And on the first day, the morning and the evening, or the evening and the morning rather, were the first day. Each day that we gather for worship, we focus on the Creator God. We look back in worship. But we look forward again in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is the day? It is the day when we won't have to gather for worship, because we will, those of us who are believers, those of us who have cried out to God for mercy, we won't gather for worship because we will be constantly in worship as we look upon the Lord Jesus Christ enthroned in glory, the Lamb who was slain. And that is what the writer is talking about here. He's looking forward to the day when Christ will return. And therefore, we are to anticipate that when we gather together, we are preparing for heaven, where we will, as it were, constantly worship our God. We will be free from pain. We will be free from pressure. We will be free from sin. And we will give glory to the God who gave himself for us. So we look back to all that God has done for us. We look forward to all that God is preparing for us. But there's a way in which, and I've already touched on this, so I don't want to develop it too much, but we look around, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. I've made references this morning to the number of new babies who are with us. And I'd be interested to talk to our new mums. Harriet's not here this morning, so I can use her as an example. I wonder how she felt the first day that she arrived after Samuel was born. I know what happened. Everybody was there, particularly the mums, and they wanted to talk, and they wanted to look. Did they really want to talk with Harriet? Well, to some extent. But what did they want to do? They wanted to look at Samuel. It was the newcomer that they wanted to see. It was the one that had been given life. And friends, that is delightful. We rejoice in the birth of new children. But do we do the same thing as we look round and think, oh, haven't seen him before, haven't seen her before? Do we flock to them as easily as we flock to the new mums? When we gather together, we are to welcome into the family all the newcomers. If they're not yet believers, well, we talk with them and we encourage them to look to the Lord, and we make a note that that person needs to be prayed for. If they are believers, then we talk to them about their walk with God, and we rejoice in all that God has done in their lives. But no family has any problems in meeting together and enjoying each other's company. In our living room, we have a photograph taken when we were all together, probably at the beginning of this year, just after our daughter's wedding. The whole Lewis clan was there. And I often look at it and think, when will we be together again? Because of the practicalities of the growing family and the cost of travel. And there is a longing that we will be able to be together again. But do we have that same longing when it comes to the family of God? Oh, where is so-and-so? Oh, do you remember when so-and-so was with us? There needs to be that recognition of the importance of meeting with fellow believers. So we have a persistent problem. Meeting together is more than regular attendance. Worship is more than regular attendance. And then just very briefly, Sunday worship is often beaten simply by neglect. What do I mean? Well, neglect is not so much a conscious decision, it's other things becoming more important. Those of you who are gardeners, you will know that in springtime, you get out there, you get rid of the weeds, you sort things out, and you focus on the garden, and then other things happen. And before you know it, those beautiful flower beds that you'd arranged, those wonderful rows of vegetables, you can't see them. Why? Because you planted weeds? Because you made a decision to make those flowers disappear? No. Simply by neglect. Other things became more important. Other things came in as a priority. And friends, that can happen with us. Where are the priorities? The Lord Jesus Christ spelt it out when he said, houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands, they're to be left for my sake. Let me ask, in your planning of the week, is gathering together Sunday morning and Sunday evening the first thing written in to the planner? Or is it, oh, well, I'll do this first, and then I'll get to that. Friends, we neglect worship at our peril. We neglect meeting together when we don't want to interact with others. When there is somebody that we find it difficult to get on with, the Lord said, we're to deal with that. We neglect meeting together when we're carrying relationship wounds and we don't want those wounds to heal. We neglect meeting together when the Word of God searches us out and we are challenged. And we say, I don't want to go and hear that man again, because it seems that he keeps speaking to me. And yet, friends, that's why we gather, to hear God speaking to us. God challenges us, but we will not yield in faith and obedience to God. We may not be aware of neglect. Weeds in the garden, weeds in the pathway. We never sow them. We don't notice them growing until it has got too big. The Lord said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure in meeting together for Sunday worship? Or, as Peter wrote, for a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. What has mastered you, friends? What is it that is of greater priority on a Sunday than worshipping God? May God warm the hearts of all of us to give priority to meeting together with God's people in the local church for the worship of our great and glorious God, and to him be all the glory. Amen.